Okay, we continue our study on the life of Christ, and today what we want to consider is the topic Faith in Jesus' Power, Part 1. Now, the concept of power is something that we can understand very much. And of course, when we speak of power, we may use different words to describe what power is. We can say power is perhaps strength, power is ability. Right, and we understand that from a child, well, we have a certain amount of ability and power. As an infant, right, you can say maybe an infant doesn't have much power, much strength, right? It doesn't have strength to stand, it doesn't have strength to walk, it only has strength to cry, maybe, right? But as the infant grows, well, his ability, his strength grows with it, right? With growth, right? The infant now becomes able to stand, able to walk, right? Able to move about. And of course, from a child, as you grow up, from a child to an adult, right? The more you grow in your strength, the more you grow in your skill, well, the more control you have over your own body. Right? And that is what we understand about power. Power has what power means is that we have the strength and the ability, and this strength and ability is over a particular domain. Right? So in the case of our bodies, right, when we have strength and ability, we have strength and ability to control our bodies. And as we grow older, as we become adults, or as we grow up, well, more responsibilities will be given to us, and we may be given power over things that are outside of our bodies, right? Power over others, and those in the army, you may have power in that sense, to a limited sense, over those who are under you. And even as you continue to grow, you will experience such power or control over particular domains. And so with that power, well, what can you do? The power enables you to do things within those things that are in your domain. Right? You are in control, right? And we are speaking of it just in the plain sense, right? That whatever domain that you have, you have the power over that domain, right? You have the control to do something about that domain. Right? So for example, right, if you are the class chairman, right, you have a power of a class chairman, right, you can maybe get your class in order, right? That's your power as the class chairman. If you're in the army, right, you're a platoon sergeant, you have a power or control over your platoon, right, to get them into shape, get them to order, right? So that domain and control is only within your class, right? You are the class chairman of your class, not another class. You are the platoon sergeant of your platoon, not another platoon, right? And that is the idea here of power, right? We all understand what power is and how power relates to control. Right, but now we are not just talking about a mere power of man, right, whereby our power is limited to a particular space or domain. Right, but now what we are talking about is not a power that waxes and wanes, right, increases and decreases, but a power that is infinite, is eternal. There is no limit to this power, firstly. It is a power that is unchanging. Right? It doesn't diminish, it doesn't increase, it doesn't change. It's a power that is consistent. It is a power that is inherent. Right? It's not vested upon you, right? Like the power of a class chairman is vested upon you by the teachers, right? But this power that we are speaking of is not that kind of a power, but it is a power that is inherent. That means you, by yourself, have already this power. And of course, when we say you, we are here speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Right, that he, in himself, inherently has this power, and finally, that this power is almighty. Right, so the power of God is infinite, it is unchanging, it is inherent, and it's almighty. And that is the power that we want to speak of in our message today. Right, when we consider the topic, Faith in Jesus' Power, right, this is the power that we are speaking about. Because this was the power that the Lord Jesus Christ had while he walked on this earth. All the things in the world, all the things in creation were all under his domain and therefore his control. And he had power over all these things. And as he walked on this earth, the question was whether the people trusted, believed that he had this power. And in fact, if you remember just recently what we had considered, I remember the faith of the disciples were tested. And what were they tested concerning? Right, they were tested whether they could see that the Lord Jesus Christ is God, that the Lord Jesus Christ is powerful to save them when he was with them in the ship. And but of course we know that they failed that test. And they failed to see the power of the Lord Jesus Christ as Creator God. And now, when we transition to look at this next section, right, in fact, this next section will deal with two individuals, right, two characters, and the reason why there's part one, right, is because in this section, we want to deal with the first character, the first individual, that is the woman with the issue of blood, right, and then God willing, the next time we meet, right, we want to look at Jairus, right, Jairus and how the Lord healed Jairus' daughter. Okay, and the Lord Jesus Christ will present to his disciples these two examples of faith. And these two examples of people who had belief, who had faith in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where the disciples failed in their test, now they will see what passing the test is like. Right? They will see what a person, when he trusts the Lord, when he puts his faith in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, what it looks like. Okay, and so that is what we want to consider and learn from this passage. And so firstly, when we consider the woman with the issue of blood, right, what we want to learn is how we also can have faith in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing that his domain is infinite, his domain is over all of creation, and he is powerful to control all these things, then how can we have faith to trust in him? Just like this woman who had the issue of blood. Okay, so there are three aspects to faith in Jesus' power that we want to learn. And the first aspect that we see from verses 22 to 26 is that faith knows Jesus' power. Right? Faith knows Jesus' power. Right? Because in verse 22, right, in fact, if you look at verse 21, right, after they have passed over to the other side, and many people gathered together and thronged him, and in verse 22, and behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death, I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him, and thronged him. And so the Bible tells us that there was a man, Jairus, right, who was the ruler of the synagogue, who came to look for Jesus for help. Now, more of Jairus, right, we will see, God willing, the next time we meet. Right, and so in these few verses, well, our focus will be first and primarily on the woman who has the issue of blood. Okay, so God willing, the next time, right, we will come back to these verses, right, to look at Jairus, right, but we will first look at these verses in light of the woman with the issue of blood. And so what we see here is that when Jairus came to find Jesus, why did he come? Right, because his daughter was very sick, right, sick even to the point of death. And so Jairus, being the ruler of the synagogue, right, being one who, remember, in those days, right, was the Jewish leaders were unhappy with the Lord Jesus Christ, but this ruler of the synagogue came before Jesus, bowing down before him, and besought the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why did Jairus do such a thing? And why did Jairus go to Jesus for help? Well, firstly, he would have known and heard what Jesus had done. He would have known and heard the miracles of Jesus. He would have known and heard who Jesus was, who he claimed to be, and all his teachings. And so when he understood that this is who Jesus is, and now I am in desperate need, the only person that can help me is the Lord Jesus Christ, and I go to him. And so that's what he did. He went to Jesus, he fell at his feet, and then he besought him to come and heal his daughter. And why is it important for us to consider these verses, even as we talk about the woman who had the issue of blood? Well, you see, in verse 24, the Bible tells us that when Jesus went with him, much people followed him and thronged him. Now, why did so many people, or why were there so many people at the other side of the Sea of Galilee that thronged Jesus? Now, the word throng has the idea of crowding, and they are in a really a big crowd. Like, I think, you can imagine, like, National Day is coming up, right? So in the National Stadium, right? They have to do crowd control, right? Because if they don't do crowd control, there can be stampedes that happen, right? The people can die, right? So, because everyone is packed together, right, in a small space. And so this was the situation that everyone was packed together, right, to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why was that the case? Well, because they would have heard who the Lord Jesus Christ was. If they did not know who Jesus was, then there was no reason for them to throng him. But they knew who Jesus was. They must have heard his miracles. They must have heard his teachings, heard of his miracles and heard of his teachings. And therefore, they crowded and followed him. And they crowded and followed him because they wanted to hear his teachings. They wanted to see what he could do, his miracles. And also because they needed help. Right, and so these were the reasons why the people thronged him. Right, because they knew who Jesus was. And this would be the setting for which we have the introduction of the woman with the issue of blood. Right, because now in verse 25, the Bible says, "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, well, this woman, she came to Jesus." Okay, and so what we see here is firstly that Jesus' power was made known. Right? And those who knew his power, who knew who he was, came to see him. Well, of course, we know that not all who came were genuine, right? Not all who came truly came believing in his power. Right? But here in this big crowd, there were at least two. And there was Jairus, and then there was this woman with the issue of blood. And so when we see the power of the Lord Jesus Christ being made known, right, faith is that which knows the power of Jesus. Because when this woman had this issue of blood, she heard that this was who the Lord Jesus Christ was, she too came to seek him. Now, let us look more into what this woman was like and what was her problem, right, in verse 25. When the Bible tells us that this woman had an issue of blood, right? The word issue is not problem, okay? The word issue means to flow out. Okay, so this woman had a problem in that she had a non-stop flowing of blood. Right? This closely correlates to what we find in the book of Leviticus. I remember when a woman, right, during her monthly cycle, that she has the outflowing of blood, and she's not able to worship the Lord, right? She was unclean, right? Until she can be made clean again, and right, then she can come to worship the Lord ceremonially. Right? And so, for this woman, right, she had this issue of blood, and this issue of blood was not just a momentary issue of blood, but she had an issue of blood that lasted 12 years. And you can only imagine what that is like. Right? For this woman to be in pain for 12 years, for this woman to be always constantly at blood loss, right, for 12 years. You can imagine how weak that can feel. And you can imagine when you donate blood, right? When you donate blood, you already feel, well, after that, they say, okay, they recommend that, right, don't do anything too exerting, right? Don't exert yourself, right? Go and rest, hydrate, and all that, right? Right? But you can imagine when this woman has been losing blood every day for 12 years. And not only that, right, she was unable to worship the Lord. And she cannot. She was ceremonially unclean and therefore was unable to worship the Lord. And so this was the predicament of this woman. Now, what did this woman do prior to this? Well, the Bible tells us that she had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better but grew worse. And so this woman, what she did was that she went to many physicians, many doctors. Right? But when she went to all these doctors, what happened? She suffered under them. She only suffered. She suffered more pain, more agony, and ultimately, could they help her? They could not help her. And the most tragic thing is that, well, the Bible says that she spent all that she had, and there was no help. She did everything in her human power, in her human capacity, to resolve this problem, and yet, it could not help. No number of doctors could help her. No amount of money was sufficient to help her. She was nothing better. And here we really see the contrast between the power of Christ and man's power. You see, man's power, as described for us in this account, is so limited. Right? That you can have the best doctors, You can have all the money in the world to go and seek after the best doctors, and yet you can still not be healed. Right? Do we not know this in the world? Right? Not just in this account, but we can see in the world today. And that there are many people who are very rich, very powerful, and yet they still die. They still fall sick. They still oftentimes are nothing better. In fact, recently, well, there was this, I'm sure you know about this, I think you can call him an influencer. He is trying not to die, right? So he's a very rich person, right? He has amassed a lot of money because of his businesses. And so he used all this money to invest in his own body, right? To make himself live as long as possible. And so he tests every aspect of his body and then make sure that he does everything to the T perfectly, right? He has a perfect sleep score, right? That's why he boasts. But recently, do you know what happened? They found out that he has an autoimmune disease, right? That his stomach is now eating itself. Right? So you can try to do everything perfectly, right? Perfect sleep score, perfect everything, all the best supplements, best food, best exercises, with all the money in the world. But yet, well, you will still die. Right? There's nothing in man's power that can help. And man's power, contrasted with God's power, is really so little. It's so weak. And that is what this woman understood. And because she really tried. And she really went to the doctors. She really tried all the remedies. And she spent all that she had. You can just imagine how desperate she is. How desperate can a person be to spend everything that you have to try to heal a certain part of you? That is the state of this, that was the state of this woman. That she was helpless, she needed help, she knew that only the Lord Jesus Christ could help her. And so the first thing that we must understand about having faith in the power of Christ is that we must know His power. Right? We must know that His power is not like man's power. And man's power is so weak and frail, but the power of the Lord Jesus Christ is the power that can calm the storm. It's the power that can heal the sick. It's the power that, later on you will see, can raise the dead. That is the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you look at the Lord Jesus Christ and His power, contrasted with man's power, you see how lacking man's power is. And so therefore, why do we still seek after the power of man, trusting in our own power, in our own strength, instead of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ? But we must acknowledge that Jesus is powerful. We must acknowledge and see His power. That was what the disciples failed to see in the midst of their trial. And so for us, in the midst of our trial, if we want to say that we must have faith in the power of Christ, well then this is what it takes. It takes us understanding the power of Christ. And this means that we must study. Right? We must study what is the power of Christ. How powerful is Jesus? You see how He has power over the demons. You see how He has power even over life and death. Is that powerful enough for you? Well, that is who the Lord Jesus Christ is. And so then, if this is who the Lord Jesus Christ is, and if you know that this is who the Lord Jesus Christ is, well, know that that is only the first step. Right? Because you can profess that Jesus has this power. Right? You can say that, yes, Jesus has this power, but it is another thing for you to now put your faith and trust in this power. Right? Because for this woman, right, she did not just acknowledge and say that, yeah, Jesus is very powerful. Right? I heard all these miracles, I heard of all His teachings, and just agree that He is very powerful, and then she just stays there, continues on looking for doctors to help her. Well, does she really believe in the power of Christ if she does that? Of course not. Because when she truly understood, truly knew the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, what did she do? The Bible tells us that she trusted in His power. And so that is the second point that we want to consider. Right? When we talk about faith in the power of Christ, well, faith is that which trusts the power of Christ. Right? Faith trusts in Jesus' power. And this trust is firstly seen in our actions, right? As firstly in the case of this chronology in verse 27, right? The Bible says here that when she went to the doctors and they could not help her, in verse 27, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. And so we see here that when the woman, right, she was in this need, she had help, she could not find any help in the doctors of the world. And so what she did was that she came and then she squeezed through behind the crowd and took hold or touched Jesus' garment. Now, why did she do so? Well, she did so because she trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. She trusted in who he said he was. And you see, it is very significant here because the Bible gives us three actions that the woman did, right, in verse 27. The Bible says that she had heard of Jesus. And meaning that previously, prior to this, there was information of who the Lord Jesus Christ was and what he did and what he taught that had come to her. And so she had heard, she had now understood that this is who Jesus was. And then what did she do with that hearing? Right, she didn't just hear one year in, one year out. She didn't just hear and then I say, I agree. Right, but she heard and then she came in the press behind. Right, meaning that the whole crowd, you can just imagine in your mind's eye, right? The whole crowd was crowding the Lord Jesus Christ and then the woman crowding, trying to squeeze through from behind, right, to reach Jesus. And when she squeezed through from behind and finally got near enough to the Lord Jesus Christ, then what did she do? She touched his garment. And the word touch here has the idea of holding on to. And so when she touched the garment, right, she held on to the garment briefly. And why did she do that? Well, she did that because she believed that in doing so, she could be healed. And so what we see here is that from this woman, she had certain actions that they came about as a result of her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in fact, this faith is further explained to us in verse 28. Right? So you can see that in this case, when we explain, right, the order is a bit reversed, but that is usually the case, right? What you see first is on the outside. Right? So the Bible describes what is on the outside. This woman went and found Jesus. But what was in her heart? Right? The Bible says in verse 28, "For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." And so this woman, how did she trust in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ? Her trust was seen in her actions. Right? But these actions to come to Christ, to take hold of his garment, stemmed from her heart. It stemmed from a heart of trust in the Lord. And you see the extent of her faith. Right? She believed, she trusted that she could be made whole, right? That she could be healed just simply by touching the garment of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us meditate upon this a bit further. Right? Because when you think about it, right, when the woman came to Christ, right, squeezed all the way through to Christ, and she said that she believed that if she may but touch his clothes, she should be whole. That really shows her faith, isn't it? Because she believed that Jesus did not need to say anything to her for her to be healed. Jesus did not even need to acknowledge her presence for her to be healed. And that she can just go secretly behind her, no man noticing, just touch his garment, and then she will be healed. And that was the extent of her faith, that just simply by being in his vicinity, right, that simply by touching his garment, right, she can be healed. Of course, don't compare with the other characters that we find in scripture, right? For example, we remember how the centurion, right, was, his faith was very great because he believed that Jesus didn't even need to be in the vicinity, right, for his servant to be healed. Right, but either way, both ways, the Lord said that they both had great faith. Right, the one who believed that Jesus did not need to come, right, his servant can be healed. Right, in this case, right, this woman came and believed that, right, didn't even need, Jesus doesn't even need to acknowledge her, right? She's a nobody, don't need to acknowledge me. Right, I just take hold of his garment and I will be healed. And that was the faith of the woman. Right, that she had that faith to trust that the power of Christ is enough, is sufficient to heal her, even if Jesus were not to acknowledge her. In fact, why touch his garment? Because if she's close enough to touch his garment, right, she will be close enough to take hold of him actually, right, to touch him. Right, why only touch his garment? But again, you see that her faith is that I don't even need to touch him, right, to be healed. Right, that the power must transfer to me to be healed by some means of touch. Right, but she believed that even by simply taking hold of his garment. That is enough. That is sufficient for me to be healed. And that was her faith. And she heard only of Jesus' power, but based on what she heard, based on what she knew of the Lord Jesus Christ, she came to him, she trusted that he had the power to heal her, and she took action based on that trust. And so that is the faith that trusts in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us that when she did so, what happened in verse 29? And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And so the Bible tells us that she was healed. And her faith, her trust was realized. Her trust that was seen in action first, her trust that was actually in her heart, and then now her trust was realized. Right? The fact that she was healed, and this healing was straightway, immediately. It didn't take some time for her to, you know, take some medication, and after a while, then she may recover. Right? But it immediately came. And furthermore, this healing was free of charge. Right? You see, previously, she had to suffer under the doctors. Right? We do not know what they did to her. Right? It could be many painful procedures that she had to undergo. And in those days, I don't think they have like general anesthesia, right? Or even local anesthesia. And so, can you imagine the suffering that she would undergo just to be healed? She also spent all that she could, right, just simply to be healed. In this case, all she did was believe, and then she took hold of the Lord Jesus Christ's garment, and she was immediately healed. No medication, no suffering, no amount of money that needed to be paid. She was healed. And this healing was a genuine healing. It wasn't just some psychosomatic healing that she felt better, but the Bible said the fountain stopped. Right? The blood stopped. And she was healed. And so this was the power of Christ that was experienced by her because of the exercise of her faith. Right? Because she trusted in the power of Christ, and this was the result. And the Lord Jesus Christ was pleased to heal her. And so to have faith in the power of Christ is to trust even without sight. Because remember, this woman, she did not see or know, she only had heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, based on what she had heard, she acted. It is to believe that which has been revealed to us concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. It is to take hold of it by faith, take hold of it by action, in light of what the Lord Jesus Christ has revealed of himself. Right? Jesus is powerful. But the question is, do we believe it? Do we trust in it? And trust means not just I agree, right? Trust means exactly what this woman did. I heard it, I will come to him, and I will take hold of him. And so likewise also, right? We say that, yes, I believe that Jesus is powerful. How much do you really believe that Jesus is powerful? Do you believe that Jesus is powerful to help you in your studies? Okay, that's good. But do you believe that Jesus is powerful to help you in more difficult things in life? In your future, in your troubles, in your difficulties in school, in your difficulties with people, do you believe that Jesus is powerful to help you in your struggles with sin? How much do you truly believe that Jesus is powerful? Right, that will really show, isn't it? Right, because if you truly believe that Jesus is powerful, what will you do? You will stop taking things into your own hands. You will stop seeking man's power. You will stop seeking your own power, but you will go to the power of Christ. Right? You go to Christ for his power, and that power can help, can work. He is powerful. You may be facing a particular trial that no one may know, and this trial may be really very difficult, very pressing on your soul, something that is always in the back of your mind, right, 24/7. Maybe you may not even be able to sleep because of these troubles and trials. But do you trust the power of Christ? Do you trust that Jesus is powerful to help you? That the same Jesus who was able to heal this woman, the same Jesus who created the heavens and the earth, who stilled the storm and the waters, is the same Jesus that can help you. The same Jesus that rose again from the dead, that raises the dead, is the same Jesus that is powerful today to help you. And so do you truly believe that Jesus is powerful and that he's in control? Because if you truly have faith, if you truly believe in this Jesus, now know that you cannot keep silent. And that is the result that we see in verses 30 to 34. That faith confesses Jesus' power. And because now in verse 30, what happens is Jesus, he immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. Oh, sorry, in verse 31 first. "And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me?" And so Jesus, when this woman touched him, right, when this woman took hold of his garment, well, Jesus knew. The Bible says that virtue had gone out of him. Now, this word virtue simply means power. And that means Jesus, in himself, he knew that power was used for the healing of this woman. And so this was what he experienced, right? This is what he felt, right? That virtue had gone out of him, and so he knew that he had healed this woman. Okay, but when he asked his disciples who touched him, well, at the time, there were many people thronging him, right? Remember, it's a whole huge crowd. Everyone is squeezing, right? Maybe sometimes in the MRT, right? Or in the bus, right? Everyone squeezed, right? Everyone would, you'll brush against each other, right? That cannot be helped. And so that's what the disciples were saying. You know, why are you asking who touched you? Everyone is, in that sense, everyone is touching you, right? Everyone is thronging you. And but Jesus was asking a very specific question, right? He was asking specifically who was the one who touched him and virtue had gone out of him. Right? But if you were to think about it, why did Jesus ask this question? Right? Why did Jesus ask who touched him? Right? Because did Jesus not really know who touched him and who was healed? And because, of course, he knew, right? He was God. Right? When he walked on this earth, he's still God, right? He did not give up his divinity. And being God, he would have all knowledge. And he would have known who had touched him. And furthermore, if he had known that virtue had gone out of him, right? He would have known who received the virtue, right? He would have known that this woman was the one who received this healing power. And furthermore, the Bible also tells us, right, how does he know, right, in verse 32, and he looked around about to see her that had done this thing, right? So that's another clue, right? In verse 32, the Bible tells us that Jesus already knew that it was the woman, right? He turned around and looked at her, right? He knew that this was the woman that had touched him, or that touched his garment, right? And so, why then did Jesus ask this question? Right, it's a very curious thing to think about. Because if Jesus already knew, right, then there's really no point in him asking, right? But you will see that there are at least three reasons. Right, three reasons why the Lord Jesus Christ asked, "Who touched me?" Right, the first reason is because it was for the woman to know him and confess him. And the reason why the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Who touched me?" is so that this woman who was healed will truly know him and confess him. And because it was not just for this woman to be healed. Right? This woman cannot just come to Jesus and be healed and then just go her way and just live however she wants and live without Christ anymore. Right? This woman, when she came to Jesus and took hold of him and touched his garment and was healed of her sickness, right, what was the more important healing that she needed? Right? She needed to be sure that she's healed from her sins. And so her healing cannot just be done secretly, quietly, right? Touch Jesus, heal, and then just run away and then just live her life however she wants again. Right? No. Her healing had to be made known so that she will be willing to confess the Lord Jesus Christ and be identified with him. Right? She cannot just secretly come and be healed and then just secretly go. The reason why the Lord Jesus Christ asked, "Who touched me?" is so that this woman will be identified with him. Right? This woman will confess the Lord Jesus Christ. And why this is important is because if her faith was genuine, she will confess Christ. Right? If her faith in Christ, in his power was genuine, right, then the result will be that she will most definitely confess the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see that that was the case. And so that is the first reason. That she had a need to confess the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why the Lord Jesus Christ asked, "Who touched me?" Right? So that this woman can be identified. Now, when she was identified, and the Bible tells us in verse 33, the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And so the Bible tells us that when the Lord Jesus Christ asked, who touched me? And then turned and looked at the woman. Though the woman feared, though the woman was very fearful and trembled, she came, fell down, and told him all the truth. And she was bold to confess the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though she feared, even though she was fearful, you can just imagine, amid the whole crowd of huge number of people, now she has to come before the Lord Jesus Christ and say, I was the one. And when she did so, the Bible tells us that she told him all the truth. And the parallel passages will tell us specifically what did she tell the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what she told the Lord Jesus Christ was that she had this issue of blood for 12 years, and she was not bettered by any of the physicians, and yet by taking hold of the Lord Jesus Christ, she was healed of this issue of blood. And so she would testify of what the Lord Jesus Christ had done in her. And she would testify of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a testimony to the whole crowd of how Christ had healed her. And this would be the second reason why the Lord Jesus Christ asked, who touched me? Right, the first reason is so that this woman will be identified with Christ, right, that this healing cannot just happen separately from being identified with Christ. And secondly, it is so that she will publicly testify of what Christ has done in her. Right, it was her testimony of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right, that was the second reason why she had to be singled out, right, so that she could testify of Christ. And finally, it was also so that she would know for herself that this healing was truly a result of her faith in the power of Christ. And the reason why the Lord Jesus Christ asked, who touched me, is so that this woman herself, for her own faith's sake, that she would know that this healing had come about because of Christ and because she put her faith and trust in Christ. Right? And that is what the Lord Jesus Christ says in verse 34. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Right, so the Lord Jesus Christ, after he singled out the woman, or she confessed, then Jesus said to her, right, your faith has made you whole. Right, go in peace. And this statement was specifically for the woman. Now, if the woman wasn't identified, well then, this statement would not be there. And you can just imagine the possibilities of doubt that can come. Yes, in the moment, right, she trusted Christ, she took hold of his garment, and then she was healed. But then after that, maybe she will start thinking, hey, maybe it's just a coincidence, right? Maybe the medicine that I took from the previous doctor maybe finally kicked in, right? Maybe finally worked. Right, there can be so many other reasons, so many other explanations that can explain away the power of Christ working in this woman, right? If she starts to waver in her faith. Right, but for her faith's sake, the Lord Jesus Christ identified her and then said, daughter, make sure you understand, make sure you know that this healing was not by chance, this healing was not just happened spontaneously, right, but this healing was because your faith has made you whole. Your faith in the power of Christ has now healed you. And now you can go in peace. So this was for the woman's sake, that she would be encouraged and strengthened in her faith. That she would know that, yes, it was indeed true. What she believed of Christ was true. And what she trusted of Christ was not just some fanciful, wishful thinking, but it was realized. And that was for her encouragement, for her faith's sake. And so this is what we understand also when we talk about faith in the power of Christ. That when we have faith in Christ's power, faith in Christ's power means that we confess his power. And we confess that we are identified with him. And we confess of how he has worked in our lives. And there is a blessedness in doing so, for we will also be encouraged. When we experience God's power, and we really cannot, we must not keep silent. And we must testify of his goodness for us. And there are so many things in my life that when I look back and I think through, that the Lord has really worked powerfully. And not because of who I am, but in spite of who I am. And I'm just thinking about during my schooling days, right? What were some of the things that the Lord really worked powerfully beyond my thinking? And there'll be times in my exams, I remember, that I'll be stuck. I'll be really stuck. I couldn't answer the question. And but then I remember there were times that I prayed. And then somehow, right, the Lord gave the wisdom, the understanding, right, to be able to answer those questions. I don't know how. Right, that was the power of the Lord. Right, and then when you do so, when I experience something like that, well, then your faith is strengthened. Right? You see that, hey, actually, the Lord is so good. And there are times also subsequently when I was even starting or finishing army, right, going into FEBC for my studies. At that time, all of a sudden, my classmate reached out to me and asked me more about the gospel. And then this classmate eventually came to church. And then also this classmate eventually professed to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then I was wondering, like, wow, why all of a sudden? I didn't do anything, you know. Is the Lord who had brought this classmate to me to contact me and to ask me things about Christ? And then I just shared the gospel. But then after that, then I realized that, actually, you know, in my FEBC application, right, there was one question. I never knew before that it was there, right? How many people have you brought to Christ? Right, then I was like, the Lord created the situation, right? Not by my own power, not by my own doing of, I quickly go and evangelize to ask people to come to believe in Christ, right? Because that's not the point, right? I don't believe that's the point of the question either, right? But the Lord just works in very mysterious ways, very powerful ways. Right? A classmate that I had not had contact for a while, for at least 2 years since my army, right? The Lord also moved and resulted in this situation. Right? So there are so many aspects in my life that really, when I look back, I only can say and see that it is the power of Christ. And some other testimonies I'm sure I've shared with you before. But now, you must also have such experiences in your life. And I'm sure that you have. It's just sometimes we are forgetful, right? So even for myself, right, when I was preparing this message, I really had to think, right, what were the instances where the Lord really showed powerfully His working in my life, right, other than those that I've already shared with you. Right, so, well, oftentimes we are very forgetful. Right, and when we forget, then we fail to give praise and thanks to Him. And that is why it is so important for us to confess, right, to share, right, to tell others of how God has worked powerfully in our lives. Right, and it's a testimony that brings glory to God. Right, not for ourselves, not for our own praise, not to say that we are very good, but it is for the glory of God. Right, and that was what this woman had to understand. Right, that she, in testifying this, right, praised the Lord. And so for you, make sure that you also experience such things in your life. Yes, in little ways, like in your exams or in your assignments, but even in greater ways in the future, whether it's the course of your study, whether it is a life partner, or whether it is where the Lord wants you to work, what the Lord wants you to do with your life, all these things you must seek Him. And trust that He is powerful, not only to help you in your trouble, but He is also powerful to direct you and to lead you in your life. And the question is, do you trust Him? You can agree that He is powerful. You can understand that His power means that He is in control of all things, right? That is His domain. But now the question is, do you trust Him? And because, you see, it is one thing to trust something that is 90% secure. And for example, if you take a plane today, how many percent secure are you that this plane will land safely? And because we know that there are planes that don't land, right? Or maybe, don't talk about aeroplane, when you take a bus or take a car, how sure are you that that bus or car won't crash and that you will die? Maybe 80%, 90%? Right, but yet you still trust the bus, you take the bus and then you go to your destination, right? But now we are talking about something that is not 80%, 90% secure. 100%. Absolute certainty, absolute power that you can trust, that it will be foolish for you not to trust. Right? We will say that if you trust something 80%, it's not so foolish. Like, I mean, it makes sense, it makes practical sense. But then now we are talking about something that is fully, assuredly given to you as a promise. So trust in His power and see how He will work mightily in your life. I pray and ask the Lord to show you His power, and the Lord will do so. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee so much for the Lord Jesus Christ, for how He has displayed His power in this incident with the woman with the issue of blood. How Thou hast shown us His great, mighty power. O Lord, how often we are so frail and weak to trust in Thee. How frail we are, and how much we have failed when we have trusted in our own strength instead to do the work that Thou hast called us to do, to fight the temptations and sins that we meet in our way, and to fulfill all that Thou hast called us to do. O Lord, we pray that Thou will forgive us and help us to trust in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to see us through each situation, each trial, each difficulty, each responsibility and duty that Thou hast entrusted to us. That we will not forget Thee, but that we will increase in our faith. And so, Father, we pray that You help us to be people who are people of faith, to live and to walk by faith. We pray and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.